Today's gospel of the miraculous healings reminds me of the saint we had the other day, patron of parish priests, the curé of ours. That's his statue there halfway down the church, the priest with the stole. The curé of ours worked many miracles, but never by himself, almost always with his little friend, his dear saint, Philomena. He probably did this out of humility as well as out of devotion. St. Philomena was his dear partner and co-worker, just as today's St. Clare was the dear friend of St. Francis, or St. Jane de Chantal later this month with St. Francis de Sales. He would always send people who asked for a miracle to St. Philomena's altar, and it seems that God heard best the joint prayer of those two saints together. And he was always careful to give, in a chivalrous fashion, all of the credit to her. The curé of ours once healed a lady with a severe laryngitis. She could not speak without unbearable burning pain. He told her, "Go to St. Philomena's altar," and with an almost Italian confidence and familiarity, he said, "Compel her, and if she's not willing to heal your throat, tell her that she should give you her own voice." And by the end of her prayer, she actually was healed. So that in a few days' time, when it was the festival of St. Philomena, her voice was heard singing beautifully above the rest. You know that today's saint, St. Clare, the foundress of the Poor Clares, named after her, cloistered sisters of very great poverty, is, because of her name, one of the patronesses against eye afflictions, because Clare means bright, to help us to see then the light and things clearly. But St. Clare is also patroness of television, so named by Pius XII. She's patroness of television because once when she was, remember, sick in her cell on Christmas night, she could not go to Mass. But she saw our Lord's birth, and she saw all the ceremonies of the solemn Mass, as it were in a big screen TV, right against the wall of her cell. Now, I don't think you could imagine St. Clare with one of those obscene big screen TVs in her little monastic cell, nor could you imagine her spending too much time flipping through the channels. But if you're a TV addict, she's your patroness. Ask her for help. There's an awful lot that we need not to watch in life as well as on television, but there are some things we need to see and to recognize. We need help for this. Theodoret, one of the early church historians, tells an interesting story about his mother who had an eye affliction. She was a very beautiful woman and heard, this was when she was about 23, heard about a saint. People always go to saints with their problems. And she went all the way to Antioch in Syria to see a saintly hermit about her eye problem. Now, perhaps automatically, or maybe because this was, after all, a special occasion, she dressed as gloriously as she could. She put rings on each finger and earrings and bracelets. And I have the impression she may have gone a bit heavy on the mascara, the foundation and the lipstick and all of the rest of it. In a word, the entire arsenal of a woman was at her disposition and used. It was quite a sight, this woman all dressed so fancily and the poor hermit in his rough habit. The first thing the saint saw was that she didn't see, and he'd have to work on her spiritual sight. "My daughter," he said to her, "could you imagine a great world-renowned artist whose paintings are magnificent. Could you imagine how he would feel if he did a portrait of someone and then somebody else comes along just on his own and decides, I'll touch it up a little bit with my own hands and paint? Wouldn't the artist be offended? She saw the point that, as he told her, she was endeavoring to improve and to perfect the work of God in her. She knelt down to beg his pardon, but she still wanted her miracle. And as saints go, he was somewhat reticent to do that. But finally, because she persisted in her prayer, she was healed. Do you ever pray and then sort of give up after a while? Even the cure of Ars had to make more than one novena to Saint Philomena at times, but he did not, he would not give up. That is the difference. Well, when the saint finally gave her the miracle by the sign of the cross, she went home. And do you know what the first thing she did when she got home? It was to throw away all of her makeup and to give away all of her jewelry. And out of gratitude, because she saw clearly now, she dressed in a neat, simple, unaffected way, as the saint had recommended. I once knew a girl from a good Catholic family in the country. A girl, all of the daughters in this family, used to dress that simple, unaffected way. But at a certain point, perhaps to mark her coming of age, I don't know, but she gussied herself all up and she got her hair done and there was makeup and tailored fashionable clothing. So much so that I walked right past her. I couldn't think to myself, now who is she? And a priest, all men in general, but a priest in particular has to be careful not to stare. But it was only later that it dawned on me who she was in her disguise. I remember studying in the seminary in moral theology that there are some justifying causes for a woman thus to draw attention to herself, but never to dress in a way which is actually immodest. That is to say, if she wants to attract a husband, if she's at the age of marriage, or if she wishes to honor and to please her husband by her beautiful appearance. St. Jane de Chantal was the dear friend and co-worker of St. Francis de Sales. She was a widow woman, very young, and she was nobly born and very beautiful. For years, as she would go to see St. Francis for spiritual direction, as they were planning together to found the new order of the Visitation Sisters, she continued to dress according to her state. She wore beautiful jewels and fine, fine dresses. Finally, one day, St. Francis de Sales said to her, Madam, he said, Madam, do you intend to remarry? Certainly not, she said. Monseigneur, she was insulted because didn't the bishop remember she had made a vow of chastity? Ah, he said, then in that case, my daughter, why do you still fly the flag? Everything in life has a purpose. And if we forget it, we get into trouble. If only some saint, St. Clare, would help us to see clearly God's will. As long as we're on the subject, if only women could see the power which Almighty God has given to them. Yes, a power. There's no need this women's lib business. Every woman has a terrific power. But how wrong she is to play with it for her own petty pleasure, for her pride, perhaps, to see how many men's heads she can turn and perhaps lead them even into a mortal sin. And women pretty much do know, at least deep down, what they are doing when they dress or walk in a way to provoke the attraction of men. But if only they would know that such a man is troubled and tempted and ensnared by her, would you want to be the cause of the loss of an immortal soul. Is it worth it? The story of Samson and Delilah is acted out in miniature in the malls and in the stores and offices on the streets of our country every day. Women, what power is yours? As men grow weaker today because they grow more sensual, women necessarily grow stronger with that power to draw. But how quickly it degenerates unless it elevates. After all, ladies, God made you not to be an object, not to be an idol, but to be a person who, for love, will place all of her power at the service of God and of family. It is for pure and unselfish love. Can you imagine such a love admitting of even the least immodesty? It is for love that you are made by the great artist. And his work probably doesn't need too much retouching. But you do need to see why he went to all of the trouble, as St. Paul says, to be able to present you as a spotless bride to your spouse. For most of you, that will be marriage in Christ. Your life now for your husband and home and children. But some of you will be chosen, young ladies. Some of you will be chosen for marriage to Christ. And that is the story of Saint Clare, a wealthy noblewoman, the time of Saint Francis. She was inspired by her friendship with him. And when the age came for her to marry, back then it was 16, she dressed herself again in her jewels, fine dress, and she stole off Palm Sunday night to elope to marry our Lord. She met St. Francis and the friars at the little chapel, San Damiano, and he cut off her beautiful, beautiful hair. And she put on a rough brown robe and a plain black veil. But such joy and such constancy were in her heart that her family could not pull her away. They literally engaged in a tug of war at the altar. She held on to the altar cloth on one side and the family on the other. But she won for Christ. A short while later, her sister came to join the convent, and finally, her mother. There she was, a cloistered nun in the most severe poverty. And yet it is incredible to consider the influence which this one woman had upon her age, not only for the newly founded Franciscan order, but even over the Pope and the whole of the Church. How many eyes St. Clare was able to open to see the relative vanity of this world and the beauty of just trusting God. Trust God for the way he made you. Trust God for the way he provides for you. Because you see, back then, they never took up collections at Sunday Mass. Wouldn't that have been an interesting age to live in? Churches and convents were supported by investments. And the return on the investment property took the tithes, took care of all of the needs of the church or the religious. But St. Clare and St. Francis depended, as do we, upon the free will offerings of the faithful, donations. That was a hard concept back then for people to accept. And the Pope never gave up trying to persuade St. Clare to give it up until just a couple of days before her death. And finally, she's told the Holy Father that she needed to be absolved by him of her sins, but not from following Jesus in his poverty. Don't you see? Don't you see? Men, That woman in front of you, in line in the store next Saturday, clothed or unclothed perhaps, in a degrading fashion, she is a soul. She needs your prayers, not a leer or two. Women, don't you see, as you stop the next time before the mirror, how hard are you going to work today to improve on what God has already made beautiful? And why on earth would you, by the way you present yourself, want to help a man to make his soul ugly in mortal sin of impurity? Dear Saint Philomena, let's all go to your altar today. We need plenty of miracles. But first, stop and see Saint Clare. Some of us need our vision adjusted. God bless you. In the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.